may I risk reading some more? Because this is not popular, but I'm going to read just a few more verses here. Behold the day, behold it cometh, thy doom advanceth. The rod hath blossomed, pride hath budded, violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, yea, none of their multitude, nor their wealth, neither shall there be eminency among them. The time is come, the day draweth near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, even though he were yet amongst the living. In the vision touching the whole multitude thereof, it shall be revoked, and none shall through his iniquity assure his life. They have blown the trumpet, made all ready, but none goeth to battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. By the way, the thing that characterized these people were, they were a bunch of protesters. They wouldn't go to war. They were a bunch of pacifists. Ran off to Canada in that day. They refused to stand for that which was right, my friend. May I say to you, the judgment came. The enemy came in, and the enemy didn't have any of those silly notions about pacifism. As we said before, as G.K. Chesterton said, this is the age of pacifism, but it's not the age of peace. Men today, they are weary of war, sure. But long as there is iniquity in the human heart, God has said, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. We saw that 3 times in Isaiah. Now, let me read again here. And none shall through his iniquity assure his life. And I drop even farther down now, and I'm going all the way down to verse 19. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be as an unclean thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of Jehovah's wrath. Now, that's an interesting statement. We have felt that the almighty dollar, and we've spent billions of them throughout the world to get peace, and we haven't done a very good job at it, but we sure spent a lot of money. And it would seem that the American dollar is not the solution to every problem of life. It's very comfortable to have a few of them, I guess, but it won't solve all the problems of life. And God is saying that to these people. You see, they felt like that their wealth that accumulated would protect them, but it did not. They cannot satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowls, because it was the stumbling block of their iniquity, and the beauty of their ornaments, they turned it to pride, and the images of their abominations, their detestable things, made they of it. And I will give it to the hands of strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall profane it, for I will turn my face from them. And they shall defile my secret place, and robbers shall enter into it and profane it. Now, this is tremendous, but if you want to read something that's even more tremendous, it's what is ahead. Read Revelation 18 and 19, the destruction of commercial Babylon, a day that when men trusted in big business and the stock market, and they depended on Fifth Avenue, the gray flannel boys, to make business good. And the government would assure that everything would be all right. But it wasn't all right. It didn't save them. It didn't deliver them at the time they needed deliverance. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture. And I want to begin in this passage, form a chain. For the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city full of violence. What a picture of today. Therefore will I bring the worst of the nations, and they shall possess their houses. And I heard one man make the statement, God wouldn't let Russia destroy America. Where did you get that? May I say to you, God permitted Babylon, a pagan nation, to destroy his people. He permitted it. May I say to you that this idea we can hide back of that kind of a Maginot line is one of the most false positions that anyone can have. Can America come down? Oh, people said, no, we are sending missionaries. We are such nice, lovely people. Well, my friend, you can't walk the streets today. There's violence. There's crime. And my friend, until a nation will become a law-abiding people, God cannot bless them. He says that here. You see, people don't read Ezekiel. They like to read John 14. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love John 14, too. But remember, Ezekiel 7 is in the Bible also. And I don't know where we got the idea that one was a little bit more important than the other to be read. At least give Ezekiel 7 equal time and let him present his case.